Beckham. Bang! You want to throw sometime? Bang! 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 Bang!
Greetings, Fife fans. Once again, we are here in the Squared Circle with Felipe León, episode number 5 here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. This is your 30-minute less boxing podcast where we give you all the latest news, notes, fight results, and upcoming fight calendar all in 30 minutes or less, guaranteed. My name is Felipe León, international editor of FightNews.com and co-editor, co-host of Boxeo.com and Boxeo Tijuana TV. Actually, BoxeoTijuana.com, my bad, and Boxeo Tijuana TV. And here we are, giving you the latest couple weeks into the new year, 2016. Hopefully, you guys are all having a good year. Boxing is finally gearing up this upcoming weekend. We'll have the upcoming calendar later on in the show, but first we're going to go to Jabs and Hooks, where we give you the latest news.
You're serious?
In a total are you serious type of news story, this last weekend we lived the recapture of the most notorious drug trafficker in the world, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. It just happens to have a little bit of a boxing twist when Fernando Cochulito Montiel, that guy that did the breakdance when he got stopped in about 2 rounds by Nonito Donaire a couple years ago, was caught thick in the middle of it. Chapo Guzman was recaptured in a house that was behind Cochulito's house back there in that small town of Los Mochis, Sinaloa, where he's from, and a couple other fighters like Antonio De Marco and Humberto Soto and Jorge El Travieso Arce are from. So when the gun battle began, Cochulito gathered up his family, his kids, his wife, took him into his room and hid out there for a while, for about an hour. Once they got captured and everything calmed down, the National Guard, the Mexican National Guard, went over to Cochulito's house and asked them if they could search his house just in case. He said yes. They went up the stairs and they actually brought out one of the cartel members that was hiding out in Cochulito's house since 5 a.m. that morning without Cochulito knowing that he was there. With that said, Cochulito asked the National Guard, what would have happened if this guy would have, you know, if I would have found this guy? And they said, well, he probably would have killed you. So Cochulito had a short close scare with one of the drug cartels, but hopefully, thankfully, everything came out fine. He's safe and sound. His family's safe and sound. This guy got recaptured, and now the whole world can move on until he escapes again. In another news, Marco Antonio Perriban, Mexican super middleweight, is out of the Andre Ward sweepstakes. It's known that Andre Ward will be coming back on March 26th against an opponent to be named. Marco Antonio Perriban was a strong candidate to be that guy, but now that the Ward camp has announced that the fight is going to be at 175 pounds, which in basically is going to be the first fight for Andre Ward at the light heavyweight division, Perriban, through his promoter, Promociones del Pueblo, have taken themselves out of the running since he feels that he has some unfinished business to do at 168 pounds. Perriban lost a bid to be the first Mexican to win a title at super middleweight, and I think he still has that dream to be the first Mexican to win a title at 168 pounds. But I think Chavez Jr. is hot on his heels if he ends up facing Baru Jack in 2016. Perriban is still some fights away from getting another title shot, so we'll see what happens. But the number one candidate to face Andre Ward on March 26th is Suleiman Barrera, the Cuban, who's coming off an impressive win over Carol Murat about a month and a half ago. Freddie Roach is pushing for a fight between none other than Juan Manuel Marquez and Miguel Cotto. Freddie Roach is looking for another fight for his pupil, Miguel Cotto, who should be coming back in the summer of 2016. And Roach says that Juan Manuel Marquez will be the perfect opponent. At what weight? Well, Roach says that Miguel Cotto can still make the welterweight limit of 147 pounds. And Roach would love another Mexico against Puerto Rico battle like he had in his last fight when it was Saul Canelo Alvarez defeating Miguel Cotto for the WBC middleweight title at 155, 156 pounds. And now he wants to give it another shot with the rivalry. And Roach feels that he knows Juan Manuel Marquez very well since he has fought him and faced him with his other star pupil, Manny Pacquiao. Lucas Matisse will be meeting later on this month with Golden Boy Promotions to decide what will be his future in 2016 as far as fights. They're trying to decide if he's going to stay at the junior welterweight division of 140 pounds or he's going to move up to welterweight. Also, Eric Gomez, the matchmaker for Golden Boy Promotions, mentioned that they will be discussing future opponents. Whether he stays at 140, Mauricio Herrera is a strong candidate now that Mauricio has declined the Terrence Crawford fight for February. Or a rematch against Ruslan Provonikov at welterweight if Lucas Matisse, the Argentinian, decides to come back at 147 pounds. Last time we saw Lucas was in October when he fought Victor Postol for the vacant WBC title at light welterweight, 140 pounds. And we all know how that ended when Victor Postol stopped him, I believe, in the 10th or 11th round. A future fight that might have some ramifications will be on February 27th in Manchester, England, at the Manchester Arena, when WBA 122 champ Scott Quigg faces IBF champ Carl Frampton in a unification bout. Well, the WBA, the World Boxing Association, out of Panama, this weekend came out with a couple edicts, where one of them says that the winner of that fight must face Guillermo Rigondeaux by July of 2016. Obviously, they're ordering their champ, Scott Quigg, to defend against Rigondeaux. Or if Carl Frampton wins, then he would be the new champion. He would have to defend against Guillermo Rigondeaux by July. If it turns out to be a draw, then Scott Quigg would have to defend against Rigondeaux in July. If you guys remember, Rigondeaux was named champion in recess because of inactivity. And now the WBA, I guess they feel guilty of that, and they're giving them another chance. And another news from the WBA, Mayweather, Floyd Mayweather Jr., I don't know if you guys remember that guy, who at his retirement held two super world champion titles for the WBA because they have the super world champion. He held it at 147 and 154 pounds. And now they are stating that he will be removed from the WBA rankings, even though he announced his retirement at the end of last year, or actually after the end of his last fight, which was in September, and now in January of 2016, about 4 or 5 months later, the WBA is actually coming around to removing him from his rankings. And it looks like undefeated WBA featherweight super champion, there you go with another super champion, and two division world titleist Leo Santa Cruz will be taking on former world champion Kiko Martinez of Spain in his next fight, which is scheduled for Saturday, February the 20th. Sources say that the bout will take place in a venue to be determined, but more than likely in Los Angeles. Seems like a pretty good fight. Little bit of a big test for Leo Santa Cruz, but Kiko Martinez, he has a little bit of a style. He ended up beating, I think it was Jonathan Romero for the IBF title. So it would be a good matchup to see Kiko Martinez against Leo Santa Cruz and see if Santa Cruz, what he could do with that. Actually, Kiko Martinez won the title at 122 pounds. And then the last piece of news, WBO champ, super featherweight champ Roman Rocky Martinez of Puerto Rico says his third fight with Orlando Cid Salido, the much anticipated trilogy or rubber match, will be on March 12th, and he wants the fight to definitely be in Puerto Rico. He says that he is the champion. He wants to fight in Puerto Rico, whereas Orlando Salido says that he's been to Puerto Rico twice to face this guy. He's faced Juan Manuel Lopez in Puerto Rico as well, and he would like the fight not to be in Puerto Rico. But Rocky Martinez seems to be pretty adamant that because he's the champion, he decides where the fight is going to be held. And he really wants it to be in Puerto Rico. So let's see if it ends up being in Puerto Rico, or if Orlando Cid Salido gets his way and gets him to come out to Mexico, which I doubt, or to the United States at least. But they have a date for March 12th for the rubber match between Rocky Martinez, the world champ at 130 pounds for the WBO, and former world champ Orlando Cid Salido. Okay, folks, now we go to our next section, which is called TKOs and Split Decisions, where we give you the results of last week, of the fights that happened last week. Not very much. It's kind of light, but let's give you the results.
I'm real champion.
You're serious?
In the first title fight of 2016, super middleweight Giovanni De Carolis stopped favorite Vincent Fagenbutz in the 11th round to capture the vacant WBA super middleweight title in Germany this last Saturday night. They faced each other once before in October, with Fagenbutz winning a controversial decision, but this time De Carolis pretty much controlled all the action and stopped Fagenbutz with a 11th round barrage of unanswered punches. Fagenbutz thought that the fight it was stopped prematurely, and he asked for the rematch. De Carolis said no problem, that they could have the rubber match. The 20-year-old Fagenbutz wanted to be the youngest German champion of all time, but obviously he did not get it by losing to De Carolis. So we have a new champ, WBA super middleweight Giovanni De Carolis, this Saturday night in Germany. And on the undercard, heavyweight Derek Chisora stopped journeyman Andreas Kuzmore in two rounds. Third win in a month for Derek Chisora. It looks like he's trying to make another run at heavyweight. And in the other fight of note for this last weekend, former IBF featherweight champ Evgeny Gradovich, who is trained by Robert Garcia in Oxnard, won in Spain this past weekend with a majority decision over Mexican Jesus Galicia. Scores were 99-93, 95-94, and 95-95. Pretty light. Those were the two only major fights that happened this last weekend, but now we're gearing up for a new year, 2016. So we have a little bit of a calendar coming up. So very rapidly, we're going really quickly in this first. Is this the first or the second? I'm trying to think. No, this is the second In the Square Circle of 2016. We move fast here on In the Square Circle. So we're going to go to the upcoming fights.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
Alrighty. Tuesday, January 12th, from the Cowboys Dance Hall in San Antonio, Texas, on Fox Sports, Leija Bata Promotions brings us Miguel Flores, who's 18-0 with 9 knockouts, facing Mario Briones. 27 wins, 4 losses, 2 draws with 20 knockouts. They're going to be facing each other at 130 pounds in a 10-rounder. That's on Tuesday on Fox Sports 1 from San Antonio, Texas. On Saturday, January 16th, from the O2 Arena in London, Haymaker Promotions brings us the return of David the Haymaker Hay, heavyweight with 26 wins, 2 losses, 24 knockouts, who's going to be facing Mark DeMori with 30 wins, 1 loss, 2 draws, 26 knockouts. They're going to be facing each other at heavyweight for 12 rounds. This is the return of David Hay, who says he's ready to make a run. So let's see what he brings, and he's going to be returning this Saturday, January 16th, from the Old Tour Arena. I'm sure we could all watch it somehow, some way, on the quote-unquote radio. Same night, Saturday, January 16th, but from the Barclay Center in Brooklyn, and on Showtime, and brought to us by DiBella Entertainment, and obviously with Al Heyman and the PBC behind it, we have more heavyweight action, something that we haven't seen in quite a while, but is much anticipated. WBC world champion Deontay Wilder, with 35 wins, 0 losses, 34 knockouts, will be defending his title against Poland's Arthur Spilska. 20 wins, 1 loss, 15 knockouts over 12 rounds or less in the heavyweight division. And for the vacant IBF title, which was stripped of Tyson Fury not too long ago, we have undefeated Charles Martin, 22 wins, 0 losses, 1 draw, 20 knockouts against Vyacheslav Glaskov, of 21 wins, 0 losses, 1 draw, 13 knockouts. Again, 12 rounds heavyweight action. Two undefeateds facing each other. And a WBC title fight between Deontay Wilder and Arthur Spilka. When was the last time we saw two heavyweight titles being disputed by four different guys on one same night in the same venue, Barclays Center? That hasn't happened in a long, long time. So that's good to see. We're getting a little bit of new action in the heavyweight division, which I'm sure is very welcome, at least by me. I kind of want to see some new blood in there. And obviously, we want to see the rematch between Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko to see if even if Vladimir Klitschko beats Tyson Fury, he still has to come after Deontay Wilder and whoever wins against Charles Martin in Glasgow to be able to unify the titles, which is something that I'm sure that he wants to do. He's always wanted to do. So at least we're going to see some good fights out of there, even if Vladimir Klitschko ends up beating Tyson Fury. And if Tyson Fury beats Vladimir Klitschko in the rematch, then we have a complete new blood in the heavyweight division. Also on the same card from the Barclays Center, not going to be televised, perhaps televised on Showtime Extreme, we have a female world title, 10 rounds for the vacant WBO featherweight title against highly touted Amanda Serrano from New York with 26 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, 19 knockouts. And from Accra, Ghana, Helen Joseph of 12 wins, 3 losses, 1 draw, 7 knockouts. So a little bit of female action on that card from the Barclays Center. Not going to be televised on Showtime, I'm pretty sure, but maybe we'll get it on Showtime Extreme. Same night, Saturday, January 16th, from the Bomb Factory, Top Rank and Unimas brings us the return of middleweight contender Matt Korobov, 24 wins, 1 loss, 14 knockouts, against Josue Ovando of Mexico, 14 wins, 8 losses, 1 draw, 11 knockouts at 160 pounds in an 8-rounder. So here you go. We got the return of Matt Korobov against, you know, 14-8 guy. This guy's going to get on TV. That's incredible. Incredible. But you got to give the guy a chance to get back on the horse and see what he could give us in 2016. Maybe he could make another run at a middleweight title. And friends, believe it or not, clocking in under 17 minutes is the fifth installment of In the Square Circle. Obviously, not a lot of news, not a lot of fight results, not a lot of stuff to talk about, with only being about 10 days old, the new year of 2016. So we get in, we get out, we get it done here on the Square Circle. I thank you for your continued support and listening here on the Living in the Ring Network, and we'll be back next week with more action, hopefully more news, a little bit more analysis of these fights that we're going to watch this weekend with Deontay Wilder, Charles Martin, Spilsky, Glaskov, and all this other stuff. Hopefully we have a little bit more news. We start getting a little bit more, you know, more news about upcoming fights in 2016. Things are going to happen and things are not going to happen. Oh, and another news that I just remembered reading about. Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez, who was rumored to be facing Giovanni Segura in February, posted on his Twitter that he was given some false information, that he does not have his next date. He does not have his next fight date, and much less an opponent. So there will not be a Giovanni Segura versus Roman Chocolatito fight, Gonzalez, as of right now. Maybe it's a negotiating tactic. Maybe, I can't believe they would give Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez some false information or some misleading information regarding his next fight. I mean, he's a world champion. He's considered the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world right now, that Mayweather's not here. So it's kind of hard to believe. Maybe it's some kind of negotiating tactic of his, from his part, to try to get a little bit more money or try to get Giovanni Segura to commit. I don't know what's going on. It seems a little bit strange, but he did post it on Twitter that he was misled, as according to him, that he doesn't have a next fight date and that he doesn't have an opponent. So we'll see what happens with that. And with that said, we have reached the end of In the Squared Circle. I thank you again for listening. If you have any questions, you can reach me at Twitter at SDFights or on my email fleon@live.com. Thank you. Or you can hit up leaveitinthering@gmail.com with David Duenas. I appreciate it and have a great week. Just forget the wins, it's the best to use. Won't you follow me into the jungle? Follow me into the jungle.
in the back. Backstreet Bulls in the